So instead of breaking up my talk into three bits, you've got it in two. I will just have to do things in as interesting and exciting a way as I can, which means I might wander around a bit. So if you don't like the preacher wandering about, just shut your eyes and listen. That's the thing to do. Now, one of the amazing things out there in the world is that things grow. Have you noticed? They do. I love gardening. I could sit and watch it for hours. And indeed, I quite often do, because Janet's the one that does most of the gardening in our place, unless, of course, it requires heavy lifting or digging, and then somehow or other, I am required. But there you go. That's what husbands are for. And we love to go to gardens. We go to all sorts of places. In fact, we were at Kew only at the beginning of last week. And we love to see what all these things can do, even though we can only have one flower, because some of their flower beds are bigger than our entire garden. In fact, our garden wouldn't even fit inside the cafe of some of these places. And that's, of course, another important point with gardens. They need to have a cafe. Have you noticed? Yes, if you've not got a good cafe, it's not a good garden. But you can have lovely flowers. But I have to say, I do try and do some things. Now, I have here in my pocket something that is really quite amazing. And I want to know if anybody can actually identify it, so I'm going to pick on someone. Now, they say never work with children, animals, or Peters. Come on in, Denise. What do you think I've got here? Seeds, she says. Right. Okay, what do you think those seeds would grow into? Trees. Okay, close, but no banana. Well, what do you have to do with seeds? Come along, children. I know you have to do this at least at key stage one, if not sooner. You plant a seed, yeah, and then what? You water it, yeah. And what else do you need? Sunlight, water, and air. I planted some seeds just like those in my veg trug, and they grew. Lo and behold, a radish. And no, not a tree, a carrot. Now, you're going to tell me that this isn't a carrot. I am here to tell you that it is, and it's a special round variety of carrot for growing in shallow things like veg trugs. So there. It's a different sort of carrot, but it really is a carrot. I might have it for lunch or not. Now, the amazing things about gardens is what happens if you leave them alone. When I was much, much younger, about half a century ago, I was baptized and I was given book tokens and I bought a special book. And this book was a load of cartoons from a magazine called Punch, which the very old among you might remember, if you ever read such things. It was full of cartoons which usually said rude things about people or made fun of things. And here's a picture of a chap in a funny hat, well, two chaps in funny hats really, but the bloke with the umbrella is the vicar. He is the minister of the village and he's going around the village and he's talking to a bloke who's digging his garden. And written underneath it would be a caption. This was in 1934. They talk like that in 1934. And the caption reads, this is the vicar talking, he said, "It's wonderful what the hand of man can do to a piece of earth with the aid of divine providence, Wilkes." And Wilkes replies in his 1934 voice, "You should have seen this beast, sir, when divine providence had it all to itself." See, if we don't care, if we leave things alone, what happens to gardens? I know what happens to mine. Weeds grow. And when weeds grow, slugs grow. And where slugs grow, snails grow. And where lettuces grow, they stop growing. It's a constant battle. Now, it's actually a God-given thing, a God-given commission, something that God wants us to do, to look after our gardens, or to be more precisely, to look after the whole of the world. And in the Bible, in the very first chapter of the very first book of Genesis, right at the end of the story describing the creation of the world, God gives humankind a commission. The This is what it says. Come up on the screen. Then God said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, and they will be yours for food. Rule over the fish and the sea, be fruitful and increase in number, God says. Rule over everything and subdue it, he says. But this is not God saying to humans, I want you now to go and take everything that I've made and the good thing that I've made and the wonderful thing that it is and screw it up. Even though it would seem that sort of thing might be happening. It's quite an amazing thing, is the earth that God has made. It's an amazingly powerful thing. We've already seen from the Thomas and Percy story just how changes in the weather can change things. Way back in AD 79, there were some people living in a couple of towns called Pompeii and Herculaneum on the coast of the Adriatic Sea near a great big mountain. The mountain had been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. It was a big pointy mountain. And suddenly they started getting earthquakes. Well, they were used to earthquakes. They got earthquakes in that part of Italy. But when the mountain exploded, and thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of hot rock shot into the air and then rained down on those cities, covering them 10 feet thick in ash, they were surprised. In fact, by the time the pyroclastic flow had happened and all the hot gases and the rocks had collapsed back in and rushed down the side of the mountain and covered them even more, thousands of people were killed. They didn't know that this mountain was a dormant volcano. It wasn't dormant, it was active. It had taken 700 years to be active. You see, the earth has been doing stuff all the time. There have been super volcanoes that have caused huge changes in the weather. The earth's been hit by things like meteorites that have so changed things, it wipes out a whole type of creature. There have been ice ages coming and going, changing the shape of the earth. You've only got to walk around our coast and you can see the earth is changing shape all the time. Dominating the earth does not mean that we will destroy it. The earth is quite capable of looking after itself because God's made it that way. But we are capable of changing things that aren't necessarily good. We get worried about natural disasters. There are earthquakes. There are volcanoes. There have been volcanoes only in the last month or two, haven't there? In South America and in other places, in Hawaii. Might be nice to live by the sea in Hawaii, but then you've got a volcano. You can't have it both ways. You choose to live somewhere that might be dangerous. That's your choice. But what happens if you do something that forces people to live somewhere dangerous? Because people have wars. They kill each other. They drive them out of the nice place to live and force them to live somewhere else. There's thousands of people now having to live down on the delta on the edge of Bangladesh because they've been forced out of Myanmar just because they think a few different things. And there's all sorts of things happening. You've got creatures that are suffering. There's been a lot of fuss about plastics in the sea. A month or so ago, we read about a minke whale that was dying because it had got 17 plastic bags stuck in its stomach and it couldn't feed. Only yesterday I was reading that there are seabirds on an island in Australia that they're having to wash their stomachs out of the chicks so that they can get rid of the plastics so that they can find something to eat. We keep pumping gases into the atmosphere that change the way it behaves. The Earth will survive. But actually what really happens is we're doing stuff that affects people and other things. And I suggest that what you're most worrying about disasters is the fact that they affect people and we care about them. And that is what God wants us to do, to care about people. Think about it. If you read on in the story in Genesis, Adam and Eve disobey God and they get kicked out of the garden. They're then told that gardening is going to get difficult, to put it bluntly. Life will be difficult. In the sweat of your brow you will eat bread, says God. Things get tough. But at the same time, God was starting on that promise and that amazing work that was going to bring people back to himself. The whole earth ever since then has been groaning, Paul writes. Groaning, waiting to see the sons of man come into their own. Waiting for people to trust God. Waiting for people to realize that when Jesus died, he did it for them. But just because God forgives us doesn't mean that we don't have that command still to look after the world. God still cares. The earth doesn't have it in for us. God doesn't have it in for us. God cares. Do you? Why don't you think what changes you could make in your life that will have impact for good? And not impact for bad. You may not be able to stop the next tectonic plate moving, but you can certainly stop doing things that pour pollutants into watercourses, pump gases into the atmosphere that will affect a lot of people in the meantime. You know, I've done something to change the environment, well, a little bit of environment. I've got through so far, apart from Thomas, without mentioning trains. Well, as you know, I like building model railways, and I've got an old model railway which spent 5 years in the garage, and it looks very sad. There it is. The grass is yellow and tired. Everything's gone brown. In fact, if you look very closely at some of the ballast, the stuff under the rails looks nice and green. And that's because it's gone mouldy. I was really caring for this old railway because I was building a brand new one. I didn't want the old one. And then we had the bright idea that it might be quite fun if we had a model railway for the children to look at and stuff at the fun day. So I decided I needed to change the environment. And now it has got new, fresh, green grass. The river looks like a river rather than a tired bit of paper. It's got ballast on the tracks. It's all getting very exciting, and if you want to see it, then you better come on July the 8th, because there's lots of stuff that's doing it. I'm changing my environment. Well, actually, I'm doing more than just that, I hope. Do you care whether something's rotting away, something old and not wanted? Or do we need to do something more because of the love that God has for us? And the command that he's given us to look after this amazing planet.